Who's next to follow the buzzards? Who's the next women's number one contender? Does Kurt Angle's son show up? And does the Shield, or at least two-thirds of the Shield, reunite?
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Sierra Hotel. India. Echo. Lima. Delta. Shield.
Who's the first to leave us hanging? Who's going to pull out? Yep, where's that get? Well, not going to go there. You're a father. We're not going to go there.
Anyways,
what's happening, everybody? This is the Raw After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Monday Night Raw is in the books. We're here from Los Angeles, California with you, the full squad, once again, ready to bring it to you. Let's get right into it. First off, on the ones and twos, playing the Shield music, that's Mark B. Donica.
It's me. You can find me at Mark B. Donica. I'll be coming in and out every now and again. And if you act up in chat, I'm going to get rid of y'all.
That's right. MBD. That's MBD, baby. I'm Jay Quastos. Johnny LaQuasto is my name. Jay Quasto on all the social medias. That man right there. He's a Second City vet. He's a director of so many amazing shows at Second City. He's got a film coming out with the Rocky Romero and yours truly. You follow him on Twitter at Mark Warzeka. That's because he's Mark Warzeka.
Guys, it was a great Raw tonight. I can't wait to talk with you about it.
I thought it was decent. Do you like it better than last week?
I
thought
last week was super. Yeah, I like it better than last week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm with him. Mm-hmm. Better than last week.
I like when we disagree, which is often. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That man right there is a former Hollywood Heritage Champion for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, a former United Tag Team Champion. He has wrestled the world over for WWE, multiple other companies as well. Follow him on Twitter at TrueHobo.
Yo, yo, it's your hobo.
He's the boxcar superstar.
Goddamn right I am. I have nothing to prove.
Man, I'll tell you what, that hair is flowing.
Yeah. I know. It's fluffing. It's fluffing. I got so jealous of that hair.
It gets the volume going.
It's got that 70s flair going on.
Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't stand up, but it gets real wide.
I like it.
Is it because of the summer heat?
I like volume.
It's just like this all the time.
I had to try to fluff mine out to match it. It just doesn't do it.
That's why I had it in braids last week. If it's not in braids, it looks like this. It's a lot.
I love it.
It's a lot to deal with.
Now, I'm just going to kick an idea out to you. Feel free to run with it.
All right.
Your own Pantene commercial.
All right, yeah, we should do that.
I think we should think about it.
Yeah, wait, one of the first times I ever appeared on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, I was in the shower.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a true fact.
That was a long time ago.
Did you know you were being filmed?
Not at the time. I can't remember what it was for, but it was... They just kind of busted in, and there was a shower there.
Wow.
It's at the Glendale Studios.
Yeah, sort of a GTV type thing.
Right, and it was, remember? They were like, look, the hobo's taking a shower. And I was like, well, there's a shower here. I probably should use it. So they got me on the shower.
Yeah. Well, hobos have to, when you can find a shower as a hobo, you got to take advantage of
absolutely.
It, right?
The fact that I didn't have to pay for it was even better. Right. Usually a pay shower, the hot water is gone normally, but this was nice. The Glendale Studios were wicked sweet.
Oh, it was a lot of fun back then.
Oh, they were the best.
Yeah. Still a lot of fun now, but Glendale Studios was a pretty good temporary home that we had for a little while.
That's true, yeah.
Well, next to me, so you can see her every week. Well, I'm sure you saw her all over Comic-Con. At least I saw her in photos. Didn't see her in person, but you see her every single week on Marvel Movie News as well as Screen Junkies News. Follow her all over at Markeia McCarty. She's Markeia McCarty.
There were a lot of moments that I enjoyed with this Raw. I'm not going to say that I enjoyed the entire Raw, but there were moments. There were jewels. There were pearls.
Well, can you promise to let us know the parts you didn't enjoy when we get to them?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very vocal with my opinion.
Okay. That's literally what you're here for.
Yeah. Yes. In honor of Hobo, I tried to fluff out my hair, but I think I got more of a fembot kind of a look.
You forgot to put your headphones on, though.
No, they're there.
What?
Yeah, they're hidden. Yeah.
What?
What a swerve.
The hair covers it. I look like a CIA agent with a...
Very tricky.
80s style CIA agent.
Well, I like how the hair changes color as it runs away. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know how to talk about hair, guys. It runs away.
It runs away.
Yeah, my hair runs away from me quite often.
It's a reverse runaway, if you're looking at my hair.
It's a run towards. That's a reverse runaway.
It's a run towards. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know who did not run away from the truth, and that's Kurt Angle. What a segue.
Wow.
Yeah, we got it.
As we start off the show,
Kurt Angle. 4 minutes in, nailed it.
Yeah. We're having a good time. He hits the ring and said, you know, he dealt with a lot this past week, but he's really happy. His son Jason Jordan is now going to wrestle his first match tonight, but He's been thinking about SummerSlam now, the main event, and he decided what the main event's going to be. Well, someone had to interrupt for that. Oh, I was about to pan.
Oh.
The one benefit about not having good headphones is the fact that I can't get scared by that music.
That just means I have to play it louder.
I guess you do. Go for it. So Braun Strowman, I don't know word for word what he said, but he had extra. I think he was chewing on more rocks than usual before hitting the ring. Mm-hmm. And I think it was something to the extent of, my name better be the one that you say next.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was pretty much that.
It
was
I like that.
I love everything Braun does.
He's believable. He's believable, which is one of the things I love about him.
Yeah. He's very believable.
From that one sentence, I actually believe that he thought he could go. Like, he could go with some angle right then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, he's like, all right.
He's done that thing for a while. He did it with Mick Foley, too, right? Where he just comes out and threatens the crap out of whoever the general manager is.
Yeah.
Give me what I want or I'll eat you.
Well, it's, you know, that's, if you can't take someone's lunch money, you might as well demand other things.
I believe that he's not afraid of Brock. I believe that he's not afraid of Joe or Roman. We've got a good dynamic right now. I love the fact that they. Well, I was going to jump ahead of it. I'll let.
We'll let the show happen.
I'll let the show happen.
Yeah, let it just.
Guys,
breathe.
I'm just so excited.
Let it breathe naturally.
I'm so ready for SummerSlam.
All right, we still have 4 weeks. I don't even know. Four weeks. 27 days.
Yep.
I think it is. Anyways, so Braun Strowman, he's pissed off. Samoa Joe, he's not much happier. He hits the ring and says he almost sent Brock Lesnar to sleep. He's not afraid of Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns hits the ring. And actually, this was one of the coolest things Roman Reigns has said in quite some time. He basically went down his scroll of accomplishments. He's like, what have y'all done? I main evented 3 WrestleManias.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Multiple-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
What about y'all? And neither one of them had.
They had nothing to say.
It's a fair point. I mean, you can't argue with the list of accolades and accomplishments that he's been able to amass in the last 5 years. It's why he's such a big deal within the company. It's also part of the reason why nobody likes him. In 5 years, he's managed to rack up like a legendary career in a very short amount of time. And the people, I think, are a little moany and groany about how fast he's able to get inserted into all of these championship type pictures, and that's part of where they're.
How many years was it before Cena main evented a wrestle? I wonder.
Well, we'd need George Hermosa for that.
Yeah, we're talking Thuganomics leading up to his first like headlining. You know.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
I bet less than 5.
You think?
I think so. I'm sure somebody checked.
Because he was Thuganomics for at least a couple of years.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like that, too, about Roman. But Braun should have bragged that he came back from the dead. Did anyone say that? He should have said, listen, man, I was resurrected 2 weeks ago.
Although, if he came back from the dead, Bray Wyatt would have to be involved with that.
Yes, maybe
he might be running his strings if that's a thing that's going to happen. I am A-okay with that, by the way.
With what?
If that happens where it's like Braun Strowman had to, like, there's a flashback sequence where Bray Wyatt brings him back from the dead.
Some explanation. He was in the back of the ambulance.
But we saw Braun walk out of the ambulance.
But then he died.
He was the walking
but then he died
dead
after
then,
that.
Okay? We know this.
He had internal bleeding. He wandered off into the night and laid in the fetal position until the sun came up, and at which point he was dead.
I missed that part on the website. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, one thing
that was an exclusive.
Yes, Mark.
Oh. I said everybody's thinking it. I'm just saying it. He's the new Undertaker.
Oh,
I think he's a bigger taker.
There's the Undertaker brought him back.
I thought he was saying he was going to challenge Braun. I'm like, oh boy.
No.
The Undertaker comment that Roman made was interesting to me in that list. He flat out said, I retired the Undertaker. Yeah. And as a company, they've been kind of finessing the wording of where Undertaker is. They've had Cole say stuff like, oh, he might have retired at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's done for good. They've been like a little fishy with how they've said it.
They've been on the fence.
I
never got that.
Yes.
But if you're saying it, I believe
on,
it.
On their social media, they have too, where they've not totally committed to him being gone. But this was, so that's jumped out at me that Roman was like, I retired him.
At the same time, though, that's just someone having, you know, an attitude about it too, which is
Roman needs to do. But
does Roman say things that aren't scripted, let's be honest?
I don't. Maybe. Probably not, actually. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
No.
No, but I enjoyed parts of this segment because I always enjoy when people pull out the receipts.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this was. Where it's like, hey, I did this, this, and that. What'd you do? What'd you do? Nothing?
Yeah.
You did a whole lot of nothing?
Yeah.
You've been here for a hiccup? So I enjoyed parts of this segment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that particular reason.
Well, then Kurt Angle decides to change his mind to whatever it used to be, or maybe against whatever it was, and he makes a fatal four-way match. We got Joe, Reigns, Braun, Brock. Wow. SummerSlam.
You know, writing was on the wall for this one. I think we all felt that it had to be this way. If it wasn't going to be Strowman outright, then it had to be a four-way.
And I think they know that people just don't care enough to see Lesnar and Reigns one-on-one right now, and at least in my opinion.
I think so, too. This is what I was so excited about a few minutes ago that I had to contain myself until we got there in the show. I was about to have a SummerSlam gasm about it because I love the fact that they're going to do this fatal four-way. I like that we kind of have a period now with Goldberg and now these guys, Joe and Braun, where there's a lot of big, tough, monster dudes that you could believe can handle themselves in the ring with Brock Lesnar. I mean, think that's fun.
It's safe to say, physically, this is probably the biggest SummerSlam main event in history, because I don't see how there could have been a bigger one.
You mean like pound for pound?
Oh, yeah.
Pound for pound.
They were talking about it on commentary. Corey's like, well, I sure as heck hope they're reinforcing the ring. It's going to absolutely need it. That's true.
I'm stoked for this. I mean,
Fatal Four Way is cool, but I guess it's just me. I just wanted another Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar.
Well, yeah.
I wanted
because they
would have learned from each other by then. You know, Brock already has him in his sights. I mean, it looks like he just wants to, like, eat Samoa Joe's children. I don't know if the man has children, but it looks like he would defeat him and then eat his children like they do in the wild. Mm-hmm. I beat you, I eat your young.
Yeah.
Like that kind of a thing. And I really wanted a one-on-one with the two of them again.
We'll get it eventually.
We will.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Depending on his contract, he's, you know.
Oh, yeah. Then
he's light
that.
On the appearances.
Then there's
Right. Which is kind of interesting that we have a fatal four-way situation. The situation that it is easiest for the champion to lose his title without ever getting pinned. So we may see the last of Brock Lesnar for quite some time. Yeah. At SummerSlam, or he could retain, and it would go the exact opposite way.
So maybe see a coquina clutch on Reigns? Would that happen?
More like a spear on Joe.
I'll be honest. I don't know which way this is going to go. Conventional wisdom would say that Brock would retain, but then again, you bring up a good point. Also, with Strowman, you got to go with the hottest person. That would arguably be Strowman or Joe. But then, of course, there's Roman. So it could go any way. But I think this is absolutely the main event of SummerSlam. I don't think SmackDown can do anything that's going to trump this. And this is the kind of match that can follow anything. That you can put that at the end of the show.
Right.
And so...
Yeah.
You don't think if SummerSlam did a Punjabi prison rematch between Orton and
Mahal? I'm going to think no. I'm going to guess that's not going to happen.
No.
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean...
Yeah. Great Khali as special referee?
You know,
I'm just seeing. I just have a vision for this, you guys. I just have a vision.
That would be tough.
But you don't really need a referee.
That'd be real rough.
There's no rules.
I'd rather see an I Quit match at that point. At least you don't need a referee, really. One guy screams into a microphone, and it just has to be that way.
Yeah, well, the fight does break out after the main event gets made, and just everyone gets taken out at one point or the other. Security gets lawn darted all over the arena. I mean,
it's a good paycheck. Good paycheck for those boys.
Dude, that one guy.
They earned it.
Yeah, they got some frequent flyer miles, so that's
sure
good
did.
For them.
Sure did.
They really did. And so eventually the whole locker room hits the ring and they separate everybody. So we have 4 weeks to let this happen. I think they just made a triple threat for next week with everybody but Brock, because why would Brock show up? So
the fans have sort of had enough of Brock Lesnar, or lack thereof. Even if he were to show up to simply assert his dominance, I think they would have a little bit more of a shine to him. But the fact that he's just not present is not doing it for the audience.
He's not present with a title, and then that's what gets it for me.
That makes it worse.
That's what gets it. I'm okay with him not being present. He can be like the great white that only shows up so many times, you know, like Jaws, you know, from original Great Box Nintendo, right? Right? Only shows up so many times, and you hear the music, and it's like, oh my God, it's him.
Well, five times to be specific, right? There are five Jawses?
But having it with a title, then it's like, I kind of want that Universal Championship to be back on Finn.
But
on
no,
Finn.
That's
I want it back on
first
Finn.
First off,
not even the guys in the match.
I'm going to say it. I want it back on Finn.
Which is the, and you can
the
be,
original and, Universal Champion.
And it's okay it that you're wrong, and there's nothing wrong with it. As we do segue, and now Brock is a special attraction. Yeah. I'm okay with him not being there every week. Obviously, he's going to start showing up relatively soon. But as we transition into the first match, Elias Sampson, he tries to sing. Finn interrupts him once again. But this is an amazing this match was phenomenal. And for everyone who was mad that they're going to have Finn Balor feud against Elias Sampson, why would they do that? This is why. Because you're building a character in Elias Sampson, and also you're building something else for Finn Balor leading into something else.
The Universal Championship.
Look, Finn Balor fans are really, really impatient. Ever since he's come back, they're all mad. They want him to be fighting for the title every single week. It's like, why? Let him build to something. Let him deal with a whole bunch of stuff and then become the demon. He doesn't have to be in the title picture every single week. Especially, look at the Fatal 4-Way. Would he really match up with any one of them? No. They're twice his size.
I guess we could find out.
See, size doesn't matter with a guy like Finn Balor.
True.
You saw it tonight. He was outmatched in size in Elias Sampson. But once he gets rolling, he's as smooth as any criminal.
Oh, he's incredible, and that's a great saying. But I've enjoyed this whole thing with Elias, and they took it to the next level tonight, and I thought it was phenomenal. And for everyone who was upset about it, I think you finally saw like it makes sense because it helped Elias Sampson out, and it progresses Finn Balor to something with Bray Wyatt, I guess.
Yeah, and they did some epic stuff in the ring. Sure. I really enjoyed this.
It was one of a few matches tonight that were built to over at least a week or a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. It felt like they made sense. I knew why the match was on the show. I felt a little bit invested in it, and that's part of the reason why I thought it was a really solid show tonight.
Mm-hmm. The only thing it missed was Finn grabbing Elias Sampson's guitar and returning the favor.
Yeah.
I mean, he did it with the chair, which I was happy about, but it was kind of wanted him... Kind of wanted him to grab that guitar.
After we saw what happened last week with the guitar.
Oh, that's true.
And it getting the better of one of the competitors' flesh, to be exact. I think we're safer with a steel chair. That's somehow. True. Wooden guitar is more dangerous than a steel chair. That's wrestling for you.
Maybe if he'd done it on the butt and thighs, that would have been better.
Maybe you're just... projecting a little bit of what you want to see.
I just wanted that guitar to be smashed on Samson.
But not in a specific place.
No. Just if that's a meteor area. No, I actually wasn't going for that.
Oh, you want to get spanked with a guitar? Is that what
you said? Thank you for taking us there.
I was reading the signs. Oh. You put them up there. How am I supposed to interpret the data other than you want to see Finn Balor get spanked or vice versa?
No, those signs say no through street because that is not that's not where it was going at all.
All right. Then it's all on me then.
Look, Hobo, we've learned a lot about you right now.
Yeah. I'm a wrestler.
It was a no DQ match, so you could technically spank someone with any item.
Yeah.
So I see your point.
Yeah.
Because spanking, ordinarily, you would get disqualified for.
Oh, you can't spank.
Cannot spank. You can't choke.
Nope.
You can't punch, and you can't spank.
Spanking especially is like number one in the rule book.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Nope.
And that's why there's... Forget it. So Bray Wyatt, as Finn Balor hits the coup de grace, he sister Abigail's Finn Balor. Elias wins the match. Once again, another reason why I enjoyed this, because this sends Elias to the next level by saying he can defeat Finn Balor, and Finn focuses attention on Bray. The only thing I'm thinking of is like, oh no, is this another thing that Bray Wyatt gets involved in? He picks a fight, and he doesn't come out on top.
This was a victory for Elias Sampson that was as thin as a piece of prosciutto, for crying out loud. He didn't actually win. He was just sort of the man who got the pin.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm. But we got some really good Bray Wyatt action. And, you know, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy this. I kind of like him.
You're going to be really torn when they have this big match.
I know,
because
right?
you want Finn Balor to build up to be the champion, but you also want Bray Wyatt to not lose anymore.
I want Bray Wyatt to be their new Prince of Darkness. I want them to build him up to like the epicness that
I think we all want.
He needs to defeat Finn Balor in whatever this thing is, thus sending Balor down a very, 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 very downward slope. Which is that's where he meets up with the demon again.
Yes.
Oh,
he has to become the demon to eventually beat Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
later this year.
Maybe, I see perhaps. That you need the breakdown to become the demon, and I kind of see like the epic rise to then like, you know, demon form.
No, you got to hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Because as he is right now, he's good enough that he doesn't need the demon. Ooh. It's a part of him that he doesn't need to expose necessarily because he's good enough to beat damn near everybody, Elias Samson included, despite not actually getting the W tonight. He's good enough, but as he loses, as it chips away at his ego, he'll have to sort of come to terms with the fact that he needs the demon in order to get to where he needs to go.
I'm going to flip that and say that he's doing his best. He's, you know, winning, and then he stops winning, but he's still doing his best. He's doing his best, doing his best. And then he needs to go that extra bit, kind of like Dragon Ball Z. He needs to go to that upper level, and then that's where the demon gets enacted.
Okay. Right, but Goku only hit Super Saiyan when he was absolutely at the bottom, and it was, now I got to get the extra thing. You don't hit Super Saiyan when you're on top. What do you need it for? When you're on the bottom, that's when you need to pick it up again.
Okay, if we're talking Goku, cool. If we're talking Vegeta, then it differs.
You say Fajita?
Vegeta.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's our fun dad.
Oh, is that Dragon Ball Z references?
That's Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay.
I mean, Goku, Gohan, Vegeta.
No, you mentioned Dragon Ball Z. I just blanked out as I just started staring into the camera.
Wrestling!
Oh, Mark, don't even yell at me for criticizing me for not doing Dragon Ball Z when she's going off topic. And you could just.
What?
Jeez.
Dragon Ball Z is professional wrestling.
Yes, it was.
What? Look, I love going off topic. My point is, yes, all right. I don't care about Dragon Ball Z. That's my I'm sure it's a fun. Is it a thing you play on your phone? Good, awesome. So, Kurt,
chat room, eat him up. Damn it.
Feel free. I'm proud of the fact that I'm a grown ass man and don't care what Dragon Ball Z is. Criticize me all you want. There it is.
And this is the same guy that does like DC Comics and is a DC nerd.
Yeah,
so.
That's fine. I can pick a couple things.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't sleep enough as is. How am I going to play video games? I wish I could.
It's an anime. You don't have to play it.
It's an anime?
It's an anime.
Yeah, it's
Dragon Ball Z. You watch it.
Well, you know who was animated was Kurt Angle.
Hey, talking about. Nicely done.
There you go.
Talking about having butterflies, waiting to see Jason Jordan. Emma comes up to him and says, hey, I want to be noticed. I'm not getting a chance. I started the Divas Revolution. You know what? Maybe I'll date your son.
Yeah.
That was real creepy.
it was really weird.
Loved it.
I love that was a threat. Like, that wouldn't be a privilege.
And that she just knows she could do it. Yeah. If she wanted to, there'd be no question about it for her.
She's from down under. She knows how to do things.
That's the kind of confidence I appreciate. Maybe I'll just go date your son.
Jason Jordan's like, this is working out better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
Wow. Good thing I'm Kurt Angle's kid all of a sudden.
Already reaping the benefits. So Emma says, I'm sorry, Kurt Angle says, fine, you want to get noticed, you'll have a match tonight with Nia Jax. And she doesn't look too happy.
Oh, man.
And then Enzo has a conversation with Big Show, and Big Show's like, hey, what's your plan? Enzo's like, I'm going to plan.
Yep, that sums it up.
Yeah, it's just... You know, Enzo's just being ruled with his heart right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's earth, wind, fire, and heart.
Right.
And
he's a lover scorned. He can't get over the breakup. He's lost. He's on the rebound with Big Show. He's making poor decisions.
And he's dragging other people along with him. And poor decisions.
Somebody needs to talk to him and say, move on. Big Cass is done with you.
Yeah, I was not enjoying this. I will say this in the whole next segment. I was not enjoying.
I thought it was fantastic again.
I thought it was a little bit of a repeat of something, like a lesson that he should have already learned. I want this to move on to the next step where he is the manager of Big Show and they are stepping out and stepping big. And I actually like that. Use that in a thing. But it's, that's what I want now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still a little too early.
Yeah.
I don't think Enzo's quite learned all of his lessons.
I'm being hasty.
Yeah, right. You know, you're putting too much onto the guy. You got to assume that no person knows that they're weak and need another person until they become completely distraught and destroyed. And it's just getting there. It's just taking time.
How many big boots does it take, Hobo? I love it. How many big boots does it take?
I love that Enzo would be like, I got killed by this guy once. And yeah. I just want to fight him again.
That's what I love about this.
I just want to fight him again.
This is so realistic with what's happening. He keeps going at Cass. And tonight, he got nothing in on Cass.
No, not a move.
He had a sleeper. If he could only keep it locked in, you can down a big man.
It was maybe
a tight sleeper.
It was a tiny napper.
You wanted to put him to sleep and just lay down next to him and spoon with him.
Yeah, it was a cat nap. It was a coffee nap.
Remember? The heart wants what it wants, man. And I guess this just proves once you go Cass, you never go back.
It's amazing how he just destroyed him, even possibly more so than the last time.
Worse.
And the boot looked incredible. He just pinned him with ease.
Beautiful.
And it's just, it's that's what would really happen. And I love the fact that, you know, of course, we've always had David versus Goliath, and sometimes David wins. But in this, I love the fact that David just gets decimated because it really is what would happen. Everyone knows, and Enzo's even said, I'm not the greatest wrestler in the world, so why the hell would I defeat Big Cass? Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's going, but I think it's really compelling, and kudos to both of them for the way
it should be going to an intervention for Enzo. Somebody needs to sit him down
and
talk to him.
It's like, hey, baby, hey.
Yeah.
Stop.
Stop hurting. You're
hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting us, but you're hurting yourself more. It's like it's over. It's over.
That person is going to be the Big Show. But like any good situation, if you try and tell somebody, you've got to stop what you're doing. You've got to, this is for your benefit. Nobody ever listens. Nobody listens to a person who tells them, I'm doing this for you. Here's what you need to do. The absolute number one thing that they're going to think is, you know, screw off. Get out of here. I'm living my life.
You can't change people. They have to change themselves. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But it's just Big Show is involved in this now.
He got wrapped up in it.
Like,
he's the rebound. He's Enzo's rebound.
Yes.
Rebound buddies.
He's looking out for this young guy. It's his first tag team in wrestling, and he can't let go. He can't get rid of the split in his heart.
Well, Big Show has become the conscience of the WWE, I think. You know, and unfortunately, he got beat up pretty bad by Cass again. And wow, I love what Cass is doing. I mean, and the fans are legit booing him, which is exactly what he wants.
It is working.
Yeah, did they start a chant of calling him an a-hole?
Casshole.
That started at the pay-per-view.
Perfect.
Not to be confused with casserole. That's a whole other ballgame.
No. It's a delicious dinner.
For some. So I've had some bad casseroles in my day.
Yeah. Tuna casserole
can be
questionable.
Why did we all eat tuna casserole growing up?
No one ate tuna casserole growing up. I did. Oh, yeah,
no.
I did, too. Really?
My mom made, you know, food.
I wasn't happy about it.
Your mother actually loved you, and everyone else's mother just didn't love him as much.
That came out so wrong.
You grow up lower middle class, you get tuna casserole some nights, I guess. I don't know.
That came out so wrong. I apologize.
At least once a week.
And then meatloaf. Let's just not go down that road.
My dad was a chef. My mom was Southern, so I ate really well.
Just Southern means good food. Just Southern.
Navy veteran.
The food
Southern.
Is good. The food is
she
good.
Your dad
food.
Was a chef.
Executive chef. Yes.
Executive chef.
Yeah.
He would have laughed at the crap that I ate then.
Yeah.
I will say this about the Cass, Big Show, and Enzo fight. Did y'all watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Stormborn.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Never seen an episode. Continue.
Mark is always with me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Okay, there's this one scene. This is like...
Lannisters and the douchebags and the other families.
How do you know about the Lannisters if you don't watch Game of Thrones?
That's the only name I know. I know they're all going to die of scurvy. It doesn't matter. Go ahead. Continue.
That is going to be the ending. Everyone will just die of scurvy in the finale.
It's all scurvy and dysentery because there aren't enough greens, apparently. There was this one scene between Theon Greyjoy, Yara Greyjoy, and Reek. Theon Greyjoy.
A 100% pro wrestling scene.
Yes. Where it's like one of the characters is held captive and is like taunting the other one. And then Big Cass holding Enzo and saying, I'll snap his neck.
It literally was that.
Yeah.
They literally took it from Game of Thrones last night.
Literally that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. So well done. So well done.
That was a little tip of the hat.
The snap and neck thing was a little much. It's like, I'll commit homicide. Come in this ring.
He's threatening to kill him.
Come at me, bro.
To kill him. Number one. And number two, Big Show was like, okay. He just walked in the ring still.
He was like,
it didn't even work. Big Show was like,
I'm gonna
snap his neck then.
I'm calling this bluff. I'm the Big Show.
That's going to be the next WWE film. It's Big Show as a hostage negotiator. And it's not going to go as planned.
Yeah, hostages all die.
Yep.
Fantastic. It's one of my favorite segments we just did in the longest time ever. Any hoozles? We're moving on. Alexa Bliss says the real winner tonight will be her because a friendship will be destroyed with Sasha and Bayley. She's not concerned at all. She's going to win at SummerSlam. Doesn't matter who she faces. Next up, Nia Jax. Well, I don't know which match lasted longer, Cass and Enzo or Nia and Emma. Wow.
Oh, mm-hmm. Emma.
It was pretty fast.
That's what she gets for trying to hook up with Jason Jordan. If my dad's listening, if Emma ever comes up to you and says, I want to try to hook up with your son, my dad punishes her for that.
Say yes.
My dad, I'm going to have a problem with you, Dad.
Go. Right.
I'm going to have a problem with you.
Right. Yeah.
I just love it.
His dad just, Kurt blocked Jason pretty bad here.
Blocked. Like a football block.
Yeah.
If a girl walked up to my parents were like, I want to date your son, my parents would be like, well, he's never really around. He doesn't sleep enough as it. You might want to rethink this. That's what my parents would
say. They would just talk her out of it.
Yeah. To be fair, I probably would too. So, what are your thoughts here, Marquia? So, Nia, first off, is this the first time we've seen her do... I don't even know what you would call that.
Front-flipping senton?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Front-flipping senton.
That was one of the little pearls out of this entire Raw that I enjoyed because that was, okay.
I love me a senton, but wow, that's impressive for, they say she weighs 270. Whew.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's a heavier fighter just going ahead and going for that. I like that she, despite being this powerhouse on the women's division, and she can basically just sit on people, and then she wins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she just sits on them, and then she wins.
Right.
That she's adding to her toolkit, or she's bringing other things out of her toolkit that we haven't seen before. And I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that attention to the work.
You got to differentiate yourself. Big wrestlers, there's a lot of them that are kind of the same. So you got to differentiate yourself from the other wrestlers. And a splash is standard, I would say.
Right.
And everybody uses a splash. It's a great big man move. It's complete body press.
Or a power slam really like Braun, which looks great.
Right, absolutely. But if they're grounded, usually the power slam's good if you're picking them up and putting them down.
Yep.
But if they're grounded, pretty much everybody goes for a splash. Nia's trying to differentiate herself and using a front-flipping senton, which... probably was worse. This was worse for Emma.
Yeah.
She got absolutely all of it. Her entire body
weight.
That's
a lot of weight
across
going on.
Yeah.
She's dead now. So.
Yeah, I could feel her whole back realign through the screen just from all the weight pressing onto her sternum. And that was a win. That was a 100% win.
Yeah.
Say what you want about professional wrestling being scripted. You try and get up from that.
Yeah.
You do it.
Yeah.
Plus side is that it knocked all of the Emma out of her, and now she really is Emmalina. So
Emmalina's back next week.
Yeah, it's like Typhoid Mary. She's going to completely knock the other.
Or Game of Thrones.
Marvel.
Right?
Yeah, hold up here.
I mean, I love seeing
that. Sort of like Theon and Reek.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, Theon and Reek. I do love seeing Emma on television. I'm glad she went up to complain to Kurt Angle. I would like to see her more because we have a 3-plus-hour show. So why not feature every woman on the roster?
Mm-hmm.
You got the time.
You only have so
have the
many,
time.
So go ahead.
Exactly.
Might as well.
Now, the next segment's another thing I really enjoyed, and this is a perfect example of why I really wish people were more into 205 Live. Tozawa's really upset about a shoulder. He wants to go out and wrestle a match. Titus shows up and says, sorry, I canceled it. It's in your best interest. It's for your health. Tozawa's like, He just marches away and marches all the way to the ring. Titus chases after him. They go all the way to the ring. Neville comes down. Neville just gold on the mic. They start fighting. Beautiful senton from the top rope. And then Daivari, all of a sudden, out of relative obscurity over the past month, bam, he destroys them both. As my headset falls off, I'm so excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a complete misdirection. You think it's going to be a match. It turns out not to be a match. It ends up being sort of a long form kind of almost an interview segment because it starts backstage, then goes to the ring.
It was awesome.
Tozawa is distraught, like physically hot to touch. You can see the steam coming off of him.
Sure.
And you can't. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I think Titus O'Neil is trying to be a manager. He doesn't know how to handle talent, and here he is trying to control a guy who has no desire to be controlled. There's no upside for Tozawa here.
Right.
And he's trying to break away, essentially, despite not really saying it, and Titus is trying to hold the reins, and it's the whole thing is literally falling apart. Now Neville's here. He says, the whole reason all of this is falling apart is because of me. Yeah. And then Daivari comes in and flattens them both. It's madness.
It's good stuff. It's great stuff. And Tozawa is just really knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
Not only is he great. Everyone knew how good he was in the ring. I love his personality.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously English is not his first language, but he knows just enough to be effective. Whereas Shinsuke really still struggling with the English language. Tozawa, not so much.
Tozawa knows English better than yeah. Shinsuke.
Way
he's,
better.
He's
yeah.
been speaking it for a lot longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Tozawa is just a problem client at this point.
I feel bad for Titus.
I know.
He's trying to get this brand going.
Yeah.
He can't even get this thing launched, hardly.
Yeah, he's trying to do what's best for his client to continue on with the brand because it is, you know, a top A-lister client. And he did schmooze him and wine him and dine him, gave him row next to the ring and everything.
His own little VIP area.
He's decked out in suits now. He wasn't wearing suits on Raw before.
Sure
he
wasn't.
Got with the Titus brand. Mm-hmm. And then he's going out of his way to try to do fights that he cannot physically finish at this time.
It reminds
this is a
me
problem.
Of
it's a problem.
Enzo.
Mm-hmm. Those two need to get together.
They should be a tag team.
Yes. Tozawa and Enzo.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
And go after the 205 Live Tag Team titles.
Call me the unwise guys.
They should have tag team titles for women's division before they have 205
Yes.
Live.
Agreed. Well, I'm not sure the brands are competitive. I mean, even between Tozawa and Enzo or Titus and Tozawa, their brands are not cohesive with each other. Tozawa's is a brand built on fighting and just continuing to fight and taking the loss as an honorable thing. And that's not what the Titus brand is about. Titus brand is about choosing the right place and the right time to get the right
Pick your spots.
Titus brand is about longevity. Longevity and style. Tozawa could easily just tweak a little bit where it's like, hey, give yourself another week to rest and then go out there and let's wreck some crap.
That's not Tozawa's brand, and that's why people like him. People like him because he's 100% all the time. He doesn't rest. He doesn't take time off. He's sort of a devil may care. He's a warrior, and that's what people connect with.
People
with
like him because he's a warrior in the ring. Yes, he has the moveset. Yes, he has the passion. And now that he's hooked up with Titus Brand, he's also going to have that business acumen. So all he has to do is tweak that for business acumen for outside of the ring, and then he's got it. He's
but
gold.
Now it counts for inside the ring because now he's not allowed to have the matches that he wants to have, and it's cutting into his own brand.
Once his body heals, go to town. Let that body heal.
And I also love the fact that Titus is being legit sincere recently. And that's a different side of Titus that with the whole Titus brand thing. I kind of dig this.
Yeah,
like,
I do too. He's a businessman.
Yeah. I think Titus, you know, we always talk about how like, oh, we want to see more managers. Titus is a great option.
Yeah. He like cares about and like a good and like a manager who actually cares about the wrestlers that he manages, which you almost never see, right?
No.
like a good guy manager who loves his wrestlers.
Exactly.
What about poor Apollo Creed? Where does he stand on
Cruz.
All of this?
Oh, Cruz.
I do that every time since he debuted.
People have said it on television.
I know.
That should not be his name.
It should not be his name.
Said it from the moment I heard it. Like, oh, that's completely
I don't know.
Something that's going to get buried by everyone else.
I don't know why anyone thought that was a good idea.
You don't necessarily get control over things.
No,
like
sure.
That.
No, not him. So.
But nonetheless, we'll see what happens with this group, 205 Live, but I loved it. Sasha and Bayley backstage, they said, you know, we're going to stay friends no matter what happens tonight, and the best woman's going to win, which will be me. No, that'll be me.
My favorite thing about this segment was this. This is one of my favorite things on WWE TV lately. They have, like, every once in a while, they want to make these segments look like an organic backstage documentary style segment. So they'll have, like, random guy in the background in a suit just looking on his phone. Have you guys ever noticed this? It, like, happens a lot. Like, he doesn't look at the camera. He's just on his phone not paying attention to the fact that there's two WWE superstars and big lights and cameras and a whole shoot going on.
Well,
a few feet away from him.
He's got stuff to do, Mark. He's on the clock.
Yeah. It's like, what is happening? No one tells this guy to A, get out of the shot, or B, he just doesn't care enough to pay attention to what's happening with Sasha and Bayley tonight.
Half the time, it's the producer for the segment. He's trying to keep an eye on how it's going. He doesn't care to not be on camera.
He's texting with Kurt Angle. There's another kid, so, you know, he's just
true.
Trying to...
Who knows how many kids are out there?
You never know.
He was an Olympian, and you know what goes on at the Olympic Village. It ain't no
I've actually... I think we've all heard that at this point.
Oh, yeah. We know.
Kurt might have another kid every week.
Especially in the summer games and the weather's nice.
Yeah.
Don't need to go any further with that.
It's cold. When it's cold, you snuggle up.
But hey, right. And you also... Yeah. Jason Jordan also has butterflies, just like his dad. He's going out to the ring very soon.
Yeah.
Transition to the locker room. Seth and Dean having a conversation. And he said, look, we got to worry about... three opponents tonight. It's just you and me. And I love this line. Dean was so perfect in this. I like
this
when
was
Dean...
one of the pearls.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Ambrose always.
Are we making a necklace? Is this is going to be enough pearls to make a necklace by the end of the night?
Sure thing. Phrasing.
Dean is legit one of the best actors they have. I love how subtle he was here. And he's just like, whatever. So you got to worry about three dudes. I got to worry about four. And then he just walked off. I'm like, Mike, drop it, son.
Yeah.
Yes.
So well done.
Yeah.
Because that's always true.
Yeah, this is a...
Always.
It's a slow burn, right? Like, Ambrose is not easily won back over by Seth Rollins.
No.
Seth has got to earn it. Seth has got to earn it. Big time.
Big time.
Yeah, and I like that.
I love it, too.
Yeah. Dean is 100% Dean all the time, except when he's a little bit Moxley, but not enough. Mm-hmm. But he's 100% Dean, and I adore that.
Next up, we finally have the number one contenders match for the Raw Women's Championship. Bayley taking on Sasha. This was not quite as long as I expected it to be, and I'll be honest, I didn't expect Bayley to come out on top. But the way she did it was actually, it was very Bayley. It was, she snuck one out. You know, Sasha hit the frog splash, Bayley rolled her under, and then, boom, got the pin. I mean, I was a little surprised by the finish. What do you think, Hobo?
This was a really, really competitive match.
Good match. Great match, yeah.
Almost dead even the entire time. And just like I predicted last week, you saw shades of old Sasha coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Banks doesn't mind throwing a quick hand in that ring, especially a hard slap to the face. It's not personal to her. It's business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you're exchanging hands, and a hockey fight breaks out in the middle of this ring. And now Bayley's mad, but for Sasha, this is just business. This is how she conducts business. Mm-hmm. And it's dirty, and it's not always fair, but that's Sasha. Bayley is the opposite. That's why they get along. They're opposites, and opposites attract to each other. They complete each other. But in the ring, you can clearly see... who wants it a little bit more and who's willing to stick to the rules? Sasha wants it really bad. She's not above doing something really cheap to a friend to get an opportunity at a title.
She was getting very vicious. We saw the shades of former NXT Sasha from, maybe two and a half years ago in this match. And I thought, they've always had great chemistry. And this makes you wonder what's going to happen here because there was a lot of sadness after that match, so...
I think they'll be able to patch it up.
Maybe
they'll put it together. I think Sasha might be in Bayley's corner for this match.
Or don't forget, this could be another way to keep the title on Alexa Bliss even longer if Sasha messes things up at SummerSlam.
Maybe, but then you have to count in Nia for something. I think if Alexa Bliss is going to have Nia Jax in her corner, then Bayley can have Sasha. And it'll even it out a little bit. I mean, as much as you can even anything out with Nia Jax.
True that. Thoughts, Marquee?
Well, Sasha hit a shining wizard.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was the G1 for a minute.
Yeah. I wanted even more Sasha. It was giving me flashbacks to, keeping it raw. It was giving me flashbacks to her and Charlotte Flair in the steel cage when she did a Spider-Man off the side of the... Do you remember that?
Yeah,
she did a Spider-Man off the side of the steel cage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I want that. I forgot how much I want that. With the women's division, it can be clustery. You know, they like to put a lot of the women in the ring at any time, as opposed to having solid time driven out one-on-one matches. It feels like they haven't really given the time lately. And seeing Sasha with Bayley made me want them to spend that time again. So I need that. Mm-hmm. So that's a definite.
I mean, they need a longer Raw, you know? It should be.
No.
It should
you
be.
Should again. They don't. I will escort you out
no.
of here.
Yep. It's got to no, be four don't. Or 5 hours a week to be able to get everything in.
No,
I mean, they're crunched for time right now.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you saying it. You know, that's the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Glad no, but I also did feel that Sasha held back a bit. You know,
you really think she did?
I kind of felt like there were some instances where it was just a little bit. It wasn't full Sasha. Mm. 3/4, definitely. Full Sasha would have won, I feel. Oh. I did enjoy the finish because I thought that was cleverly done, and it was extremely Bayley. It was Bayley winning on Bayley's terms. But I also feel like if it was full Sasha, that she would have won that. Mm-hmm. And I will admit that I would rather have seen an Alexa Bliss versus Sasha at SummerSlam than an Alexa versus Bayley.
Well, we did just see that last pay-per-view, was it?
Yeah, Extreme Rules.
Great Balls, Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules was Bayley and
Bayley,
and Alexa.
Bayley and Alexa, Kendo on the stick.
Essentially, we've seen them both already.
That was the stick on the pole.
the Kendo stick on the pole.
Well, the story for this was Bayley trying to become a little bit edgier, and I think she was able to do that with Sasha tonight. Sure. I mean, you're saying Sasha didn't go full Sasha, but I think Bayley met her a little bit better than she would have before. Mm-hmm. So I think Bayley's starting to toughen up, and she's maybe becoming more championship material in herself.
Well, that's cool, then.
So I think she might be able to go and meet Alexa, maybe head on for this.
Well, I think in the intervening weeks, maybe we can see some more of that toughness from Bayley, which would make me want to see an Alexa Bliss Bayley match again. Mm-hmm. So I would be on board if they can make that happen.
Freshen it up in some way.
Yeah.
The whole thing looked like
toughen up
the
Bayley.
Whole women's division looked like it was headed towards a four-way to me at SummerSlam. But now that they're going to do the four-way with the guys, I doubt that that's going there with the women too.
You can't do more than one fatal four-way.
Yeah. I don't think so. But it is a little weird to go. We did just see Bayley and Alexa in a match with a big stipulation just a couple of pay-per-views ago. For
and
them
now,
to go now and just to, a straight-up singles match for the title seems like the reverse way that you want to go. But it looks
like both shows are going to have straight-up singles. I mean, Natalya pulled off an upset on Sunday night, and now she's number one contender. It makes me wonder if there's going to end up being more than just a single. I don't know. But I was a little surprised at that. But, hey, Natty's great. So we'll see what happens there. Moving on, y'all. Curt Hawkins, he didn't care about Jason Jordan.
No. Why would he? No.
Right.
He's going to go out and defeat Jason Jordan, and people will be talking about Curt Hawkins.
Nope.
Probably not.
Yeah. It's a good thought, though, but nobody would be. If he won, it wouldn't matter.
But I love Curt Hawkins, though. I love what he's doing.
He stays confident.
He's making the most of every second he has.
Yep.
That's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this match didn't last many seconds. It was Curt Hawkins taking on Jason Jordan. Jordan, I think people are still trying to figure out what to do with him as far as if they like him or not.
Right.
But he's amazing in the ring. The guy is just a ridiculous athlete. And, you know, he's fun to watch. I love the fact that he still uses a lot of amateur takedown stuff like that. So,
He just got power. That boy is farm strong.
He's more than that strong, but for sure.
You can't teach the kind of power that he has. Just throwing Curt Hawkins around. Curt Hawkins was helpless for at least the opening part of that match. After that slap and pissing off Jason Jordan, it was like, oh, God, what have I done?
Exactly.
I love that Jordan's all like, he's all like wide-eyed, like in his promo to set up the match. He's all like a wide-eyed 10-year-old boy, like from the 50s. Like, well, I'm going to be on, I got butterflies. I'm all on my own now on Raw.
Gee, golly whiz.
It was very.
My dad's my hero.
My dream.
I'm just happy to be here. And then he gets in the ring like, I'm going to eat you.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He came to the ring pretty happy. It was the slap in the face that pissed him off.
And it was a hard slap. Yeah. You can hear that. That woke him right up.
He hit his beast button. That's what happened.
Mm. It's it, you, you're kind of preoccupied. There are moments you have in a wrestling match where you're kind of preoccupied. You're thinking about other stuff. You're coming to the ring, and then something will happen in that ring, and you go, oh, I'm here now. Now yeah. you have my attention.
Yes.
And it was in that moment that Curt Hawkins messed up, and he got forearms to the face. He got tossed across the ring.
He got.
He got way got. Mm-hmm. That dude. Ugh.
Moving on, really enjoyed the segment. Anytime the Revival's on the mic, especially Dawson, it's fantastic. They sent the New Day packing. They took out the Hardy Boys. They're the top guys. Well, Gallows and Anderson returned the favor. They're the top guys. They did everything first, including being Baldski. And they end up having a match. Very physical, as per usual. Two of the best tag teams you'll ever see. Hardy's come out, bit of a distraction. Revival hits the Shadow Machine for the win. I'm not really sure where this tag team division's going, but Sheamus and Cesaro are just chilling.
They're literally just chilling, watching the match backstage.
Yeah. Definition of champion's advantage right there. Just enjoy your time with your championship and let everybody else fight out who should fight you. Just sit up top. Sit pretty. Catbird seat. It's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, suppose so.
Every time I see the Hardys, I'm just thinking, when are they going to get broken. I feel like I'm just in this waiting game with them. Like, this is fine. But I'm not thrilled to see the 90s Hardy Boys with a Z, a nostalgia tour. I want the broken Hardys.
Yeah,
I
really, it was just there.
Vince McMahon, pony up. Pay Ed Nordholm or whatever his name is, Ed Nordholm.
The guy that everybody hates.
And Jeff Jarrett is money. Get me the broken Hardys already.
I don't know if it's that simple, though. Maybe it is.
I doubt it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's much more complex than
that. Nothing television is ever that easy.
Yeah.
No, it definitely is not. So Miz and the Miztourage are talking backstage. They say Hollywood doesn't have original ideas anymore. The Miz has been so great with these two.
Yeah.
He says Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, they're trying to reboot the Shield. It's going to be a horrible box office failure. We're going to prove that we're it. And Ambrose and Rollins are just nothing.
I liked this segment, one of the pearls.
How many pearls are we at now?
I think I had six.
Oh.
Six. Did you name them all?
No.
Mark, what's the pearl count?
Two or three.
Mark, do we have a pearl count?
I think
they're
only
two or three.
Yeah, do we have a pearl tally? Mark?
I mean, it might be four.
You got to warn me about this stuff.
I'm sorry. I didn't know she was going
to
pull up.
It might be four or five.
Four to six pearls. Got it.
It's four to six pearls.
I love that. Good.
Yeah. Keeping in mind that 12 to 15 would be a necklace.
Right.
Oh. So,
and that those are lovely. Very lovely.
Very lovely.
Sure.
Right now it's like a child's bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with this, because it was a Hollywood-style rousing phrasing. It was a Hollywood-style rousing movie speech.
Yeah.
And you had Maurice chiming in with facts while he's getting his team pumped for them to go out for the big game. So I enjoyed this, if only for those reasons. You know, like, that's his backstory. He's the Miz. He's Hollywood. And, of course, he's going to use movie tropes.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be funny, too, wasn't it, that he was being a hypocrite because he's saying, oh, they bring back everything in Hollywood. They don't have any good ideas, but I'm the star of the Marine 5.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they brought up the Mummy. You know, it's like, oh, they remake, you know, franchises just semi-successful. I want them to do this, like, locker room thing again, but I only want them to put down movies while they're doing it.
Okay. Maybe that can be something on the network. The Miz puts down movies.
They need the content.
It was a cute little segment. I liked.
Yeah, it was. It was good.
Yeah.
When the Miz takes a shot at somebody, he always manages to take the best shot.
Very
creative.
He knows
creative. Right where to stick.
Yeah,
that
well
knife.
Said.
And calling Seth Rollins completely unoriginal seemed like the perfect hit to make on him. It just felt so right. It stung.
It was for
Love
sure.
It.
And you know, the Miz brags about, I brought you guys out of relative obscurity. He did.
Yeah.
And he's making them matter. It's like everything the Miz says has been true, and that's why he's been an MVP no matter what show he's been on the past year. And then some. But really fun to watch. Main event time, y'all. Miztourage taking on Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. This was a lot of fun. Sure, Ambrose hits he hit Dirty Deeds? He did. For the win.
Yes, he did.
It happened quick.
But there was just take it away. Whoever wants to take it. This was a lot of fun from start to finish, as you would expect, with almost the Shield and the Miztourage. And then, of course, we had the Seth Rollins' fist going in.
It's like, ooh, and Dean too much too soon.
I'll team with you,
yeah,
but I will not fist bump you.
It's like, right. I already gave you props for us, like, winning. I gave you, you know, peck bump and everything. I gave you a hug.
Yeah.
And along with breakfast, you want lunch and dinner?
I mean, come on now.
We had a great night. You had breakfast. It's time to go.
Mm-hmm. Although I kind of feel Rollins may have had a point.
Really?
When they were working individually in this match, they were doing okay, but it wasn't until the end that they started working together that they were able to get the win. And a win on three guys, that's an impressive win. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe they should be perhaps watching this. Because even the bar, the champs, they were watching this match. Mm-hmm. They were interested to see what could possibly happen here with a tag team that hasn't been around for a while. Maybe if they decide to continue to be a tag team, maybe they can go for the belts. It's smart of the champions to keep an eye on everything. And this, maybe.
Ugh, I'm just of the camp of too much too soon.
When do they finally fist bump? WrestleMania.
WrestleMania next.
That's going to be their big WrestleMania moment. They finally fist bump.
The fist bump heard around the world.
Something happens to Dean, and then Rollins starts jumping out of presence on the person that did it and starts meeting them in the parking lot. And then, okay.
I see your point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then he'll be crazy in love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like it. No, I dug this. I mean, like, the backstage segment was great and the match was fantastic.
It was.
You know, where does this go to SummerSlam? Obviously, Roman Reigns is already in the main event, so you can't really have...
It does look like it's going to be Rollins and Ambrose challenging for the tag titles, unless that's coming sooner.
What? At SummerSlam?
If Cesaro and Sheamus were watching the match, right?
Right.
But
right.
What about the
I mean,
club?
What else are they watching
what
for?
What about the Hardys? What about the Revival? Are we going to have a fatal...
19-way?
Yeah.
Those other teams seem to be happy... squabbling amongst themselves to decide who's the best between the three of them. Nobody is really keeping their eyes on the tag team champions right now.
Sure.
I mean, the Revival, I think, has gold in mind and in heart, but truly, they're stuck fighting the Hardys and the club.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Very interesting. But that's how Raw goes off the air.
Yeah.
Overall
with
thoughts.
Poor Rollins just with his fist still in the air.
Oh, he left it there. He left it there.
He left it there forever. Ambrose was halfway down the aisle and Rollins was still like,
Yeah, no, it's too much too soon. He was pushing it and he knew he was pushing it.
Yeah.
He was playing. He was playing out right there. And it's like, nope. No.
Sad. It was sad.
Well, with that said,
that wasn't for
Raw.
Dean. That was for the crowd.
That was the Raw After Show, y'all. Let's all put ourselves over. Markeia McCarty, go.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. Tomorrow on Marvel Movie News, which is on our sister network, Popcorn Talk, at 2:30 p.m. PST, we will be doing post-Comic-Con coverage. And it is all the greatness that is Marvel. There was a Black Panther trailer. Mm-hmm. There was an Infinity War trailer. Mm-hmm. There was so much of all the things. And we're going to try to cover all of it. So it's going to be a 4-hour show.
Have fun, maybe.
Tomorrow. So join us and get in that chat room because you know that ish will be wild.
That's right.
Mark Warzeka. Oh my God, I'm Mark Warzeka. All my socials at markwarzeka.com with a name like mine. You have to spell it MarkWarzeka. And of course, Markeia and I are going to be having our How Game of Thrones is Booked Just Like Professional Wrestling show coming up soon.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Can I be on it? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Hobo.
I'm at the True Hobo on the Twitter and the Instagram. For the t-shirts, especially the snazzy deal that I'm wearing right here, you want to go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com and watch NXT's After Show on Wednesday, right after NXT Live.
There we go. At Jay Quasto. Ladies and gentlemen, my comedy album is just around the corner, debuting August 2nd worldwide on all digital platforms. Right now, go to quastoalbum.com. You can pre-order on iTunes and Amazon. Why that's really important is... The more pre-sales I get, the higher I will be on the ranks as soon as it goes live. And I put 6 months of recording in, a whole lot of money. I guarantee you'll like this album. And if you've seen me on the show the past 4 years, you know I'm a pretty much a good guy. So go to the album, QuastoAlbum.com, pick it up, spend a few bucks. I'd really appreciate you. And of course, Wrestling and Padre Slamcast now on the stream.tv. Thanks for watching, y'all. Thanks for listening. We love you. We'll see you next week. Mark B. Donica.
It is me. I just want to take a moment to put over all of our folks that were at Comic-Con over this weekend. Mm-hmm. We have coverage on AfterBuzz TV, Black Hollywood Live, Popcorn Talk. Also, make sure to watch X-Pac 1-360. We had the formerly known as Alex Riley on this past week.
I love Alex.
Yeah, wonderful interview. Go check it out. And then also our newest show, Ringside Pop, with a friend of the show, Dale Rutledge.
Nope.
this week we had the one and only Mark Warzeka on the show, as well as Kathy Kelly. Johnny was on it.
Oh, yeah, technically I was. I did a car segment.
Yeah, you did a drive-through crew.
I haven't seen it yet. But
Well, you should, because it's live now, Johnny. And you can also check it out on iTunes and follow it on Twitter, at Ringside Pop. We drop episodes every Sunday night, probably a little bit later, depending on where you're from. But Sunday night, Ringside Pop, Dale Rutledge. This week was Kathy Kelly, Mark Warzeka. We talked about Comic-Con, nerd culture, and how wrestling culture fits into it. Thank you, Johnny.
Indeed. Thanks, guys. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.